from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you on a Monday. Payne and Pendergast. Big story from the weekend. Andre Johnson goes into the Hall of Fame. We'll have more from Andre Johnson's induction speech coming up in the next segment. The thanking of his family and the story about his sister, who he did not meet until after he was 21 years old, is amazing. If you didn't hear it in the speech or you want to relive it, we'll do that in the next segment. But we're joined right now by somebody who is live in Canton this weekend for all the festivities. He is still live coming to us from Texans practice out in Ohio, in Chagrin Falls, Ohio, at Nick Casario's old high school. It's Texan sideline reporter and the founder of FootballTakeover.com, John Harris, joining us. Johnny, how is Ohio this morning?
Ohio is good. We have not yet gone over to practice. We'll start practicing at 9:15 Houston time. So we're going to go head over there in a little bit and see where Nick Casario used to knock it around and how he used to be. He got mad at me the other day that I did not remember his high school football number. I tried to say it was number 12, and it was number 18. Oh. And so I got this look of derision. I was like, you didn't know it was 18? Come on. I was like, all right. I was embarrassed. So, okay. Yeah, we'll go over there in a little bit and see what it's all about. But it's been Ohio has been, you know, minus the weather canceling the fourth quarter of that preseason game. It's been an amazing weekend, to say the least. Most of it having to do with Andre's induction. It felt like there was an event every single night. Even last night after it was all done, it felt like there was something going on. So it's been really cool to be up here for sure.
So, John, in the Hall of Fame game, Davis Mills had a very productive couple of drives, scored both times. He looked very efficient. It's a really small sample size. Was there anything that he impressed you with that you feel is for real? Or is there any lingering concerns that you still have? Is that he's got some of the old habits? Where are you on Davis Mills?
Well, I think, and I've said this a few times, Seth, during training camp, I feel like Davis has really improved. Just in practice, it feels like things are happening quicker. He's making decisions quicker. He's making the right decision quicker. And I feel like he did that the other night. I mean, the touchdown throw to Teagan, I thought, was a great example of how he's progressed, because he wasn't even looking to the right side. I mean, he looks left, and he actually gives a little bit of pump. Nope, it's not there. Gets his body around, looks. Oh, hey, there's Teagan. Hits him. Touchdown. I thought, man, to get to your second or third read, you know, down in the red zone, that's pretty tough to do. And he did it rather quickly. So I feel like Davis has made some serious strides since this staff has gotten here. And I feel like this year in particular, he's made even more strides. And he got great protection. I thought the left side did a really nice job of handling some things. And I say that because they were on my side the first quarter, so I could see them really, really well. And that was Blake Fisher and Kenyon Green. So I thought they handled things on their side pretty well. Davis had a good time to throw. I don't remember a throw that he had where he had somebody, you know, leaning on him, but he just made better decisions quicker. His guys got open. You know, Xavier Hutchinson got open for him. Guys were working to get open, and I think that helped all of the kind of work together. So I was pretty happy with Davis, but to me it was kind of the continuation, which is what I wanted to see, of what he had been giving them during camp. He's shown a lot of progress since, you know, Bobby Sloak and company have gotten here, and I feel like this camp is really an indication of that.
John, I spend the first 2 weeks of training camp telling people don't read too much into one-on-ones, the receivers versus defensive backs, because it's not a natural environment, et cetera, et cetera. And yet at the same time, I was getting excited by the way that John Mechie was moving, some of the really good things he did in the one-on-ones. And I went back and watched every one of his routes from the game the other night, and it feels like I'm watching a different guy. Is there something that he just lacks when it comes to translating some of those skills to the actual game situations?
I think, you get in a game situation, when you're running your route one-on-one, there are a lot of things you can do. Sometimes you might run a route and you get open, but I know Kiki QT used to be this way. Like, Kiki could get open against really anybody, but the problem was is Kiki would make some maneuver. And then in a team or a 7-on-7 setting, he would end up using that maneuver, and then he'd end up in the lap of DeAndre Hopkins. It's like you got to understand that route is meant to be a particular way because of that. So you have the spacing all across the field. So I do think there's some of that. I don't put a ton in the one-on-ones, especially the wide receiver DBs. I mean, it's good when you see wide receiver beat DB and vice versa. It's great in those one-on-one settings. But if it's not translating over a team, which it definitely hasn't, I mean, the other night, when you said Mechie, I'm like, man, what did Mechie do the other night? And I've even got the game book right here. And I think Mechie had two targets and one reception. And, against talent that the Bears were playing, or lack thereof, because they weren't playing their ones or maybe even their twos, that should have been an Xavier Hutchinson night. That should have been four or five receptions for 40 to 50 yards. And I'd have felt like, okay, John's making – the right strides. But, in those situations when you're not getting the rock, you've got to do the other things. And that really was why John was drafted. John was drafted in large part because he did the little things. His football character was off the charts. And so when you're running the football and you're the inside receiver and you got to go dig out a safety, you go dig out the safety. You don't let the safety take a running full-on – headshot on one of your running backs. Like, I think it was J.J. Taylor who took one. It was the biggest shot all night. You got to go dig out the safety. If you're not getting your targets, okay, what else can I do to impact the game? And that's just something that, I don't know. I mean, it was one play, but it was, you tie it all together with the lack of production. You think, okay, well, what's really going on here? And X is having the game he has when Skowronek is the next best receiver, and special teams-wise, he's going to be a rock star. It's going to – the numbers start getting really, really tight at wide receiver. John's got to really have a good week in practice up here, and he's got to translate that into success on Friday against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
John Harris, Texan sideline reporter, joining us live from Ohio. Texans take the practice field in a little over an hour up there. We'll keep you up to date on Sports Radio 610, certainly all week long while the Texans are out on the practice field. Plenty of eyes out there, including John Harris. Johnny, you mentioned it. The battle at wide receiver, the battle at running back, I would say even the battle at tight end. It feels like, Johnny, this version of the Texans, there are more jobs solidified right now, but with actual good players, than I can remember in a long, long time, to the point where I feel like there's maybe one spot open, if that, at each of those positions. I want to flip to running back for a second, just because Cam Akers is very intriguing. He's done some good things in the NFL, obviously, with the Rams. I thought he did some good things in the Hall of Fame game on Thursday night. Where does he fall in this competition right now at running back, in your mind?
Well, this is where it gets, obviously injuries complicate the situation, because, what happens with Teagan? Apparently it's a calf. It was initially reported a knee, then it's a calf, so who really knows? And they don't have to divulge injuries in the non-regular season anyway. So what happens if now you got to go out and get a tight end because Teagan's going to be gone for a while? Well, now you got to keep a certain number of tight ends, and we already know that was going to be a tough nut anyways. And how many tight ends are you keeping? Because let's say that your thoughts were, well, we're keeping Dalton Schultz and Brevin Jordan and then Cade Stover. Okay, does that mean Teagan's out? And, oh, boy, Teagan's probably your best inline wide blocker. So, okay, well, wait a second. We got to keep four now at tight end because we got to keep Teagan. Okay, well, where does somebody get cut? Wide receiver or running back? Well, at running back with Cam Akers, I think a lot of people around the league, especially when a guy's coming off two Achilles injuries and two surgeries over the years, I think NFL teams are like, well, we don't want to be the guinea pig. We have other guys we're going to look at. But you know what? We'll let somebody else sign him, and then we'll keep an eye on him. Well, what did they see the other night? They saw a very healthy Cam Akers look very, very good. And they're sitting there going, well, dang it, if the Texans don't keep him, we're going to jump right on it. I think there are probably teams that fall into that category that weren't willing to let Cam Akers have the opportunity to show them in their camp. They're like, let somebody else take the risk. Let somebody else take the roster spot. But once Cam showed, oh, he still got the juice, okay, with the Texans let him go, we're going to jump all over that. And I think that's the other issue the Texans have got to keep in mind is that they can't, they're not going to be able to sneak Cam through on waivers to get him over to practice squad if they're thinking that way. And quite frankly, if you watched the game the other night, and obviously Joe has not practiced for a while, where would you rank Cam Akers? You know, if you had the running backs 1 through 5, if you had to rank Cam Akers, like, where would you put him? Because you can make an argument he's been the second or third best, and you definitely don't want to get rid of him at that point. So it's going to be really difficult because I think Cam Akers can give them a lot of what they're looking for in a complimentary back to Joe Mixon. So now I think it puts a little pressure on Damian Pierce. All right, Damian, you get some reps against Pittsburgh. Let's see what we got because Cam is coming fast. And if Cam continues to perform, man, could you see him being the number two back to Joe Mixon at some point? Yeah, possibly, as long, of course, as he stays healthy. But, you know, Dari Ogunbowale, I thought, played very well. And you got to have Dari on the roster because he plays special teams. And I thought J.J. Taylor nearly took one to the house. I mean, the way that he shot through a cannon through the line and the safety makes one tackle on him, like, J.J.'s played well. So I feel like the skill position battles are as hot and heated as they have ever been, and they've got options, which is really, really nice to have. Again, injuries probably will solve some of it, which you hate, but it's probably going to happen. But Cam Akers, to me, I've loved the guy ever since I saw him in a high school championship game in Clinton, Mississippi. I stumbled upon him. Somebody said something about this performance of this kid from Mississippi, so I went and found it on YouTube. I'm like, holy crap, this kid's ridiculous. He looks like that guy. And so if he continues to ascend, there's no telling what kind of reps and plays he might end up getting in a regular season game as we move through this season.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
John, I expected the new kickoff rules to be sloppy the first couple weeks of the preseason, but it was sloppy and like very hazardous looking. I did not like, yes. There were big hits and not a single one of them looked like the kind of hit you want to see in a football game. Everybody was at awkward body positions and angles and everything. Jake Hansen got hurt on a nice play that he made. Are they going to abandon this thing by week 3 of the preseason?
You know, it's interesting you say that. We were driving home one of the nights, I think it was maybe Friday or Saturday, we're coming back from the Hall of Fame, and we got in a discussion in the car about it. And Mark said, all right, Johnny, rate this hot take. And we have 1 through 5 sizzle fires, 1 being, there's not much there. 5 being, okay, that's the hottest hot take you've ever had. And he said, they're going to ban this before the regular season starts, and they're going to go back to the regular kickoff. And when I heard it, initially, I was like, oh, it's 5 sizzle fires. Like, that's hot. And I'm like, you know what? the way they're changing their minds on this almost every week. Like there's a new little wrinkle they're putting into this. Oh, the ball's got to be standing up. Oh, this, they got to do this. Oh, they can't block it this way. I think the biggest thing was seeing it in action and go, oh my, watch the Jake Hansen hit in particular. I mean, Jake gets off the block, but he can't brace himself because it's such a tight, condensed space. And wow, that's the hardest hit I've seen on a kickoff that didn't involve Neville Hewitt in the last 11 years of being on the sidelines. And Jake gets up and he's woozy. I'm like, that is exactly what the NFL does not want. So I think they probably give it another couple of weeks and look at it. And now they'll have a full slate of games to look at too, not just one game. But the starting field position was the 25-yard line. I mean, just like it would be with a touchback. So I don't know. I think it's going to get to a really tough decision point for the NFL of whether they do this going into the regular season or whether they go back to the original. The thing is, I know the special teams coaches. I know Frank has. I know a few others around the league. There have been some coaches in the NFL that have just not done anything with this. They're just going to put it in the end zone and not even mess with it. So I don't want it to be a victory for those lazy bums, but I could see where the NFL says, no, let's just go back to the regular touchback rules, the regular kickoff rules, and if there are a bunch of touchbacks, forget it. We'll just do this in the name of player safety. And obviously they'll highlight Jake Hansen's play as one of those that they don't want to have on kickoffs.
If you want more returns, just move the kickoff back 5 or 10 yards. You know, make it harder to kick it out the back of the end zone. You know what I mean? Like if that's what you're looking for, I don't know. John Harris joining us live from Cleveland. Texans getting ready to practice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week. So, Johnny, before we cut you loose, what are you looking for out at practice today? Might we see some of the guys back that have been on the sidelines? Give us a little preview here.
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest thing, Shawnee, just what and who is healthy after the Hall of Fame game. I know a couple of guys gone out. Jake had gone out of that game. Obviously, Tegan went out of that game. What's the health of the team? Because you don't get any injury reports or injury thoughts after the preseason game. So, where are we health-wise? Cam Irving has already been signed. So that's an offensive lineman that gets added to the battle, if you will, at tackle. And I'm curious what the thought. And I know they've already lost Charlie Heck for a little bit, and I don't know how much longer they're going to lose him. So they had to bring in that. So that's probably the first thing. And then the second thing to me is, okay, who uses the preseason game as kind of a jumping off point, kind of using Cam Akers? Like Cam was really good. So does Cam continue to ascend and really put pressure on the guys in front of him at the running back position? Kalen Bullock, I thought, was really good. So does Kalen Bullock start to put pressure and maybe start to get some, number one reps? Does he get some of those reps opposite Jimmy Ward instead of Eric Murray with Jalen Petrie at the nickel? They start looking at that and seeing how that looks. So that to me is kind of, one of the things I started looking at. And then obviously you're still in training camp, so guys can still, impress you with performances. And then how does that carry over to the game against Pittsburgh? Hopefully we'll see some starters in that game against Pittsburgh, get a little bit of an idea of where they are. But other than that, just, good week. Have a good week of practice to get ready for a preseason game number two, and then, get back home out of Ohio, man. It's already been a long trip, and we still have got 4 more days to it.
Yeah, well, 4 more days and a game at the end of it in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yep. So it's, a long week. Johnny, we appreciate the time you're putting in. You're going to jump on with us while you're there in Ohio, so we'll look forward to catching up with you same time tomorrow so we can get your thoughts, and people can keep an eye out for the Harris hits on HoustonTexans.com, right?
Absolutely. I appreciate that, Johnny. Yeah, It's a grind to get them done, but if they have a good long practice, I can get close to 50, which is kind of my goal. If I can get to 50, that'll be a good day. And then over at my website, footballtakeaway.com, I just dropped the Texas Longhorn season preview, so you guys can check that out, too, if you want to go subscribe over there. So a lot of football stuff coming out of this brain recently, and even last night with a day off.
And we appreciate that brain, Johnny, for sure. The runway is here. The season's going to be here soon, college and pro. We appreciate you as always, my friend. We'll talk to you tomorrow about this time.
All right, boys, take care. We'll see you more.
All right, sounds good. The great John Harris joining us right there, joining us live from Ohio. I had forgotten about this, Seth, until over the weekend when I was reading an article about the battle between Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. We get an up-close look at that on Friday.
Yeah.
We get to see the one of the most intriguing quarterback battles in camp this year in a preseason.
Who they roll out first, and we'll read way too much into that.
Yes.
Because I could see them totally wanting to get the rookie as many reps. Or not the rookie. They're both, I mean, the younger guy.
Yeah.
More reps and give the older guy a break. And yet, man, we're going to read a lot into this.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be... This will be as marquee as a preseason game can be because of all the intrigue around quarterbacks these days.
For sure. For sure. All right. Sean Pendergast, Seth Paymedia. That was John Harris. Yeah, keep an eye out for his work. At J Harris Football, you can get him on Twitter as well. All right. Andre Johnson had a great Hall of Fame speech on Saturday. The part where he thanked his family members was particularly good, and the story, I had no idea about this story, I don't think a lot of people did, about how he met his sister, who he had not met in the first 21 years he was alive, is a remarkable one. We'll have the audio of that for you, and more from the great Andre Johnson, some Hall of Fame observations coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.